Let's begin our flower communion with the rest of the story about Norbert Chopik and that first flower communion that was held in 1923. Dr. Chopik founded the Unitarian Church in Czechoslovakia, and he wanted to plan a service that would bring people together. After the first service was so successful, this became a tradition in his congregation. On the last Sunday before summer recess of the Unitarian Church in Prague, all of the children and adults participated in this colorful ritual, which gives concrete expression to the humanity-affirming principles of our Unitarian Universalist faith. Chopik's wife, Maja, brought the flower communion idea to Unitarians in the United States in 1940, and this ceremony has become a tradition in most UU churches today. Let's begin by thinking about the awakened earth and the beauty of flowers in spring. This is actually my favorite time of year, and I'm sure that's the case for many of you. Everything is growing around us. The darkness and death of winter is gone, and we have new life. We have more sun and daylight. The forsythia, the daffodils, the tulips, the flowering trees are everywhere we look. At least a few weeks ago they were. Now we're seeing irises and roses, and soon there will be crepe myrtles and daylilies. These vibrant, beautiful colors wake us up. They tell us we're alive and that life is all around us. And you can look at the beautiful flowers here today, and it just makes you smile. So let's begin with a poem. This poem was written by Elizabeth Strong. Enter into the communion of flowers. It has taken long months beneath cold ground for these flowers to prepare their blooming. It has taken each of us long times of growth through sorrow and joy to prepare for our living now. The blooming season is short. The flowers stay only a brief time. We also are travelers upon the earth, travelers through all too brief lifetimes. Therefore, let our moments be bountiful. Let us rejoice in our unique colors, aromas, and sounds. Let us celebrate together in love. That as we travel away, we take with us the memory of golden hours together among the flowers. Listen for a few minutes to some quotes about flowers. You've heard most of these. Roses are red, violets are blue, sugar is sweet, and so are you. We should all take time to smell the roses. Ralph Waldo Emerson said, "The earth laughs in flowers." Roland Bion said, "I don't know whether nice people tend to grow roses or growing roses makes people nice." And this is a quote from Lady Bird Johnson. She said, "Where flowers bloom, so does hope." Forbes Watson said, "A person cannot have a healthy love for flowers unless he loves the wild ones." This is a Persian proverb. "He who wants a rose must respect the thorn." Claude Monet explained the reason he became a painter. He said, "I perhaps owe having become a painter to flowers." And this is a Native American proverb. "All of the flowers of all of the tomorrows are in the seeds of today." There's a quote from the Quran. "Bread feeds the body, but flowers feed the soul." Henry David Thoreau, "One of the most attractive things about flowers is their beautiful reserve." A Chinese proverb says, "When you have only two pennies left in the world, buy a loaf of bread with one and a lily with the other." And here's a poem you've all heard by William Wordsworth. "I wandered lonely as a cloud that floats on high o'er vales and hills, when all at once I saw a crowd, a host of golden daffodils. Beside the lake, beneath the trees, fluttering and dancing in the breeze, continuous as the stars that shine and twinkle on the Milky Way, they stretched in never-ending line along the margin of a bay. 10,000 saw I at a glance, tossing their heads in sprightly dance." That poem by Wordsworth shows the energy of spring. We can see it in the colors of flowers, and this year we can hear it in the trees. The insects, the birds are singing to us. Nature reminds us of our connection with everything and with everyone. The wonder of nature gives us a sense of awe or reverence for life. Nature reminds us of the need for peace and contemplation, and it helps to reduce our stress. Nature gives us pleasure. It gives us hope when we experience the beauty of new life in the spring, and we see the strength of a flower growing through rocks on a hillside. Nature keeps us in the moment. It lessens our worry over work and life stresses. Nature is our teacher. These flowers are our teacher this morning. One more point. Mary Oliver wrote about the sunflowers. Come with me into the field of sunflowers. Their faces are burnished disc. Their dry spines creak like shipmast. Their green leaves, so heavy and many, fill all day with the sticky sugars of the sun. Come with me to visit the sunflowers. They are shy, but they want to be friends. They have wonderful stories of when they were young, the important weather, the wandering crows. Don't be afraid to ask them questions. Their bright faces, which follow the sun, will listen. And all those rows of seeds, each one a new life. Hope for a deeper acquaintance. Each of them, though it stands in a crowd of many, like a separate universe, is lonely. The long work of turning their lives into a celebration is not easy. Come and let us talk with those modest faces, the simple garments of leaves, the coarse roots in the earth, so uprightly burning. Oliver reminds us through her poem that people may feel lonely, that it's not always easy to turn our lives into celebrations, that the sunflowers, like people, are often shy, but they have good stories and they want to be friends if we'll just take the time to care and make a connection. So today we'll use flowers in our ceremony to help us symbolize the love and caring for others in this UU community. We build our community here by respecting each other, caring for each other, and being helpful to others. Our community here is diverse. We are all different, just like these flowers are different. Each of us is beautiful in his or her own way, just as each flower is beautiful. So let's take some examples. This small flower is going to represent our toddlers. They're curious and busy and full of life. New life is precious. Before our children could speak, they learned to love. If we help them keep this love in their hearts, they will pass it on to others many years in the future. And we'll let this one represent our RE children and our UU teens and young adults, and the hope that we have for them to learn and to grow and to feel free to be themselves. Now a flower to represent the adults in this congregation. Maybe an imperfect flower. Let this flower symbolize our understanding that we are imperfect and that we must be conscious of our differences so we can build our community by finding some common ground. And one more. This flower represents the people living all over the world. Maybe we will never see them face to face or touch their hands, but we can still warm our hearts on their hearts because we know that their hopes are like our hopes, their pain is like our pain, and their love is like our love. All of these flowers were brought here by different people, and they were put in these containers, and they stand for all of the people here today. These flowers, so lovely today, may not look so great tomorrow. But the love among families and friends and among members of this congregation will be strengthened as we stay together in community. Today we have brought our flowers and our love and caring of others to brighten our church and to gladden our hearts. Whenever Dr. Chopik conducted his flower communion in Prague, he would say this proverb as he consecrated the flowers. Let me read now his words. Infinite Spirit of life, we ask your blessing on these, your messengers of fellowship and love. May these flowers remind us of the value of comradeship, of doing and sharing alike. May we cherish friendship as one of the most precious gifts. May we not let awareness of another's talents discourage us or sully our relationship. But may we realize that whatever we can do, great or small, the efforts of all of us are needed to do the work that needs to be done in this world. Now, for the tragic part of this flower communion story. When the Nazis took control of Prague in 1940, they found Dr. Čapek's ideas of the inherent worth and dignity of every human person to be, as the Nazi court records show, too dangerous to the Reich for him to be allowed to live. Dr. Čapek was sent to the camps at Dachau. The important message of human hope and decency promoted by Dr. Čapek live on through this flower communion that we celebrate today. The UU Flower Communion is an important legacy to this man who tried to live by loving others during a time in history when love was absent, when hate was the order of the day. What a gift we have been given by Dr. Čapek. His message is that each person is special and should be appreciated just as flowers are special and are to be appreciated. Remember that the flower communion signifies that we are all joined together as one, as shown by our flowers gathered here today. You notice the flowers are all different. Even the ones that seem not to have their own uniqueness, they're still different and unique. In a few moments, I will ask you to select a flower, a different one from the one you brought, that particularly appeals to you. As you take your chosen flower, note its particular shape and beauty. And please remember to handle it carefully. It is a gift from someone else to you. It represents that person's unique humanity, and therefore it deserves your kindest touch. We affirm the worth and dignity of every person, and we accept one another and value each other as the gifts we bring to this congregation. And now it's time for each of us to select a flower. Tony will play for us. Everyone's welcome to participate, whether you brought a flower or not. We have plenty. So let's begin, and we'll just ask the people here to begin first and select your flower. As we come to the end of our flower communion, let's listen to these words by William Rice. Let us be thankful for the persistence of flowers and open ourselves to their long wisdom. Often they grow in spite of terrible winters and miserable summers. Strange beauty greets us in unexpected places, as if there is a particular grace that is stronger than our carelessness and indifference. But when we tend our gardens with love and care, the reward can be greater than the effort. Thank you for participating today.